Please take your Bible this morning, open to the book of Proverbs, and chapter number 24, Much like we did last week, we are going to look at several different scriptures today. We'll start here and we'll end here, but in between I have some other verses I'd like to show you, so please be ready for that. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13 and 14 are the text verses for this sermon. Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. And the Bible says, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Before I pray, I'd like for you to notice that verse 13 mentions eating honey. All right? And you notice at the end of verse 13, there's not a period, so the thought continues on. Verse 14 speaks about the knowledge of wisdom, and how when you partake of the knowledge of wisdom, you're going to find a reward and your expectation shall not be cut off. I'm going to think about and talk about this morning this title, A Little Honey. And I'd like for you to consider not physical honey that comes from a honeycomb, but honey as in the knowledge of wisdom. The sweetness, the nutrition, the value that comes from the knowledge of wisdom, by the way, not man's wisdom, but God's wisdom. All right? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you give to us through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit and through the answers to prayer and so many other things, wise counsel. Thank you for that knowledge of wisdom that is sweet to our soul and helps us and encourages us, strengthens us, empowers us, does so many wonderful things for us. Guide and direct us now, please, Lord, as we talk about this topic. Please speak to our hearts and help me as the speaker to say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these two verses that we use as our text this morning, I believe, are comparing physical honey to the spiritual knowledge of wisdom that God gives to us from his word. Again, not man's wisdom, but the knowledge that we gain from knowing God and knowing God's word. We are told here in these two verses that when we eat that honey or the knowledge of wisdom, it is good for us. It adds sweetness to our life, and we will have a great reward. Those of you who have been saved for a while and have partaken of this knowledge of wisdom, I'm pretty sure you'd agree with me that is true. It has added a lot of sweetness to our life. It has brought us great reward and great knowledge and so forth. This honey or this knowledge of wisdom that we gain from knowing God and his word really can help us live the life that God has given us to live. In the message today, I'm going to look at four different circumstances, I'll call them, that many of us will face. If we haven't already, we probably will sometime face these four different circumstances, and how valuable it is to us to have this honey or knowledge of wisdom to fall back on. So I hope that you will pay close attention and hopefully be encouraged and learn something today from what we're going to look at. We will finish up with Proverbs 24, so don't forget that passage. But go with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, and verses 2 through 11. John, chapter 18, and verses 2 through 11. If you know a little bit about the New Testament, and in particular the Gospel of John, you know that we're coming near the end of the Gospel of John when we go to chapter 18. And that means that we're near the time when Jesus is going to be crucified, nailed to a cross, be buried, rise again, so forth. Just prior to his being crucified, an event takes place that we're going to read about in John chapter 18. And it involves someone that most of us are familiar with. His name is Peter. If you know a little bit about Peter, you know that sometimes he was, in his own mind, braver than he really was in reality. You might also remember about Peter that sometimes he would say things without really thinking it through very carefully. So, a good man, you know, loved God, accomplished a lot of great things in his life. We know that he was the author, human author, of 1 and 2 Peter, and one of the men that God depended on greatly. But notice, if you would, John chapter 18, and we'll start at verse 2. And the Bible says, "And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Now here's our main character that we want to consider, verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. You got to be pretty accurate to do that, you know that? He cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And I'm going to stop reading right there. Here's our main character, Simon Peter. Reminded me a little bit as I was reading through this of that servant in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel that was ready to take a sword and cut off the head of Shimei. You know, we looked at that recently. And Peter must have the same blood running through his veins as that servant of David in the Old Testament. But anyway, without asking permission or waiting for Jesus' approval or anything, he whipped out that sword and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. I want you to understand this morning, my first thought is this, about the matter of tasting a little honey and feeding upon this honey and allowing it to help you and encourage you and strengthen you, this knowledge of wisdom. We need this honey and this knowledge of wisdom, especially, here's the first thought, when tensions run high. When tensions run high. Why did Peter do what he did? Well, because this was a pretty tense situation, wasn't it? I mean, he did not want his very good friend and his Savior and his Redeemer and his Master, he did not want him to be taken away by all these men and maybe crucified. He didn't want that. And he was going to do his best to try to stop that. And just in the heat of the moment, when the tensions were really running high, Peter did something that to him was quite natural to do, but we know from the account here that it wasn't something that Jesus wanted him to do. All right? Jesus didn't necessarily approve of what Peter did. In fact, later on, I think Peter and maybe Jesus himself as well would regret what happened here. And if you know the story, of course, it goes on to say that Jesus took this man's ear, put it back on the side of his head, and healed it for him. Hopefully it worked like it used to work. Amen? Amen. But Jesus healed that, see? I want you to see here that Peter did the first thing that came to mind in the high tension moment that he found himself in. He did the first thing that came to mind. He whipped out his sword. He cut off the ear of that servant, that man named Malchus. And immediately, Jesus told him, put away your sword. He reminded Peter that this was not God's will for you to do that. He reminded Peter that it was God's will for him to, Jesus, to have to suffer for the sins of mankind. And along the way, of course, he healed Peter's mistake. The point I'm trying to make this morning is, like Peter, all of us go through situations where tensions run high. And we find ourselves in a situation where the first thing that comes to mind to react or to do, the first thing that comes to mind is perhaps not the right thing to do. I've found myself in situations, maybe you have too, where tensions were running high and I said the first thing that came to mind, only to regret it later. Or I reacted in such a way that I had to apologize later. Many times in life, when tensions run high especially, the first thing that comes to mind is not necessarily the right thing to either say or do. And it's because the human emotions are involved, and it's because the flesh is involved, and it's because sometimes the devil is involved, and we just, you know, we just react instead of really thinking about it and considering, meditating just for a moment, taking a step back, considering what might happen, trying to look at it more in the long term. We just react in the moment because tensions are running high and we say or do the wrong thing. What we need during those times is a little taste of honey. What we need is to consider the knowledge of wisdom that God has given us in His Word. And of course, He uses circumstances, He uses the Spirit of God, He uses our prayer life, He uses the counsel of wise counselors. But the knowledge of wisdom, that little honey that God gives us, is what we need to stop just for a moment, take a step back, consider that, and we're probably going to realize that that first gut reaction that we want to do or we want to say is not the right thing to do. When tensions run high, it's always better to just take a step back just for a moment and hold back that first gut reaction that you have, and don't let that squeeze its way out of your mouth or out of your body, because so many times it's the wrong thing. And by the way, it was the wrong thing here for Simon Peter. I don't know if you do see yourself in Simon Peter sometimes, but I see myself in Simon Peter sometimes because I want to take action. I want to fix this thing. I want to do something to make things right. And many times that's not the right thing to have happen. All of us need that little honey or that knowledge of wisdom during times like this when tensions run high. There's a second circumstance or set of circumstances that happen to us sometimes in life, and I want to show you this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. If you'd go there quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 21. And we're going to read verses 21 to 33. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 21 to 33. Please notice what the Bible says here. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth in his second letter to them. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now notice what he describes here. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. So that'd be 39 stripes, five different times. Thrice, or three times, was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Let's pause just for a minute. Why wouldn't you want to be in the ministry? Now, today's ministry is not at all like Paul had to go through. I want you to know that. But in Paul's day and time, when he was ministering for the Lord and ministering to people, this is what he had to face on a regular basis. And you can see that as we're reading through all this, he really had to suffer a lot, didn't he? He had to go through a lot of difficulties and a lot of suffering and a lot of pressure and so forth. And then notice verse 28. Beside those things that are without, or from the outside, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. All the different churches that he was involved in. You know, you think about Ephesus and Thessalonica and the churches in Galatia and the churches in Rome and all that. All those churches, the care of all the churches. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Now he's going to give a single example here. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. The Apostle Paul had to go through a large amount of difficulties for his serving the Lord and his ministering to people. And here's the point I want to make about when we need a little honey or this knowledge of wisdom in our life. The first one was when tensions run high. The second one is when responsibilities are heavy. When responsibilities are heavy. The Apostle Paul lists out here all these different things, and I'm not going to read through the list again, but boy, he's gone through a whole lot more things than I've ever had to go through. And so I can't really say that I can relate to all those things that he has gone through. But I can say that in my lifetime, and I'm guessing probably you in your lifetime too, we've gone through times when pressure and affliction and responsibilities have felt like a great heavy weight upon our shoulders. And I mentioned, I think it was last week or in one of the recent services, that there was a period in my life, it didn't last very long, thankfully, but there was a period in my life where I just wanted to walk away from, you know, this being a pastor and being in the pastorate and the responsibilities of it and all that. And, you know, in their different times, and it's happened numerous times in my ministry where people that I trusted have turned on me and people have said things about me or done things against me. And, you know, just after a while, the pressure just built. And just at that moment, I just would just soon walk away from it all, you know, not be a part of it all. Again, it didn't last very long, and I'm thankful for that. And I hope you are as well, but it doesn't really matter if you are or not, really, to be honest with you, because I serve the Lord, right? I serve the Lord. And I don't mean that to offend you in any way. I just, my primary duty is to the Lord. So I've learned through the years that there are going to be some times when people will disappoint you. There are going to be some times when people will hurt you. There are going to be some times when things don't work out the way you had hoped and prayed that they would. There's going to be times when the pressures are high and the disappointments are high, and you'd like to fleshly, just humanly, walk away from it all. But because God has called you and he's made it clear to you that he wants you to do this, You have to stay at it. You have to keep going. It's kind of like it was said about Jeremiah and his book, the book of Jeremiah, that there was a time when he gave it all up, but then the fire began to burn on the inside. And he said, I cannot but speak the words of the Lord. It was because he was called of God to do what God called him to do. And that's the way it was for the Apostle Paul, and that's the way it has to be, I think, for each and every one of us. Paul had a lot of pressures in his life, and Paul had a lot of difficulties that he had to go through, and he listed a lot of those out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then he says, beside all that, that which cometh upon me daily, this is verse 28, the care of all the churches, the responsibilities and pressures of life were weighing down upon him. And he needed some honey or the knowledge of wisdom to give him the strength and encouragement to go on. If you haven't faced times like this in your life, you probably will at some time. And the pressures and the responsibilities, it could be because of your job, it could be because of your family, it could be because of the economy, it could be because of numerous things, but the responsibilities and the pressures at work or at home or somewhere else in your life, it all weighs on you, and it compounds itself upon you, and it gets so heavy that you're not sure you can go on. Friend, it's at times like that that you really need a little honey. That you really need the knowledge of wisdom that God has given you through His Word. Again, you just need to step back for a little bit and consider what the Lord is asking you to do. You know, there have been times in my life, and maybe in yours as well, that God has reminded me, hang in there just a little bit longer. I'm coming. Hang in there just a little bit longer. I'm coming. I've thought about this before, and maybe you have as well. In fact, I thought about this during that short amount of time that I was telling you about where I just wanted to walk away. I thought about this. What if I give up today and the Lord returns tomorrow? Man, would I be ashamed. Man, would I feel like a failure. Man, would I think I really blew it. Hang in there just a little bit longer. I'm coming. And by the way, our Savior is coming. He's almost here. When do we need this honey or this knowledge of wisdom to help us and to get us through? Number one, when tensions run high. Number two, when responsibilities and pressures are heavy. There's a third time, by the way, there's just four, but there's a third time I want to point out to you, and that is found in Acts chapter 16. Would you go there with me quickly, and we'll try to get everybody out on time here today. But Acts chapter 16 and verse 19. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 19. Here's an event that's recorded for us about the Apostle Paul and another man who's with him named Silas, and they were out preaching the Word of God, and for preaching the Word of God and trying to tell people how to get to heaven, they were arrested and put in prison. Notice what it says here in verse 19 of Acts chapter 16. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, can you picture that? They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. We'll stop right there. Number one, when tensions run high. Number two, when responsibilities are heavy. Number three, a third time we need that little bit of honey and that knowledge of wisdom is when people misunderstand you. When people misunderstand you. Paul and Silas were not out in the community just trying to stir up trouble. They weren't trying to foment a overthrow of the government or do anything that would cause a bunch of trouble for the magistrates or those that were in charge. They were simply out preaching the gospel, trying to show people how to get to heaven, how to avoid hell. They weren't trying to cause an uproar, but that's exactly what happened. According to verse 20 and verse 21, they were greatly misunderstood. And because of that misunderstanding, the Bible shows us here that they were beaten and thrown into prison. And not just into prison, but then in the inner prison, and their feet placed in the stocks. Well, if you know the story at all, as we continue, which we won't continue reading right now, but at midnight, Paul and Silas got really bitter and started moaning and groaning and whining and complaining. That's not at all what happened, is it? I have an idea that with their feet fast in the stocks and the two of them in the inner prison, they remembered that knowledge of wisdom, that little bit of honey that God had given them and taught them and showed them throughout their lifetime of ministry. And they got encouraged by the Lord. And I think they got that. I'm pretty sure of that because beginning at verse number 25, the Bible says they were actually able to pray and sing praises unto the Lord. And God, if you know the story, turned the whole situation around. And they were loosed from their bonds. And because of that being jailed, they were able to lead the Philippian jailer and his family to the Lord. You and I, as we live our life for God, are going to have times when tensions run high. We're also going to have times when responsibilities are heavy. But there's also a good chance, thirdly, that there are going to be times when people misunderstand you. Sometimes it might be relatives. Sometimes it might be neighbors. Sometimes it might be friends. Sometimes it might be co-workers. Sometimes it might even be your bosses at work. But people are going to misunderstand you because of what you believe and how you live your life and maybe things you're trying to share with others, like the way to heaven and how to escape hell. When those things happen to you and people misunderstand you, you're going to need some of that honey, some of that knowledge of wisdom that God has given to us in His Word. It's going to help you. As you think, as you, again, take a step back, I think in each one of these situations, you need to take a step back and just consider that little bit of honey, that knowledge of wisdom that God has given us. I think it'll change your reaction and your decision and how you handle what comes next. By the way, it's a good thing that Paul and Silas did that and they began to sing praises unto the Lord and pray, because it was because of the praying and the singing praises that the Philippian jailer heard that, right? And wanted to know more about salvation and eventually got saved. Well, I have one more that I'd like to show you, and then we'll go back to our text. John, let's go back to the Gospel of John and chapter 15 and verse number 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse number 5. Here the Bible says, just the one verse, John 15, 5, Jesus speaking, He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now watch the ending. For without me, ye can do nothing. Don't forget that last phrase. For without me, ye can do nothing. We need that little bit of honey or that knowledge of wisdom when tensions run high, when responsibilities are heavy, when people misunderstand you. But we also need that little bit of honey when you become important. When you become important. Now, there's basically two ways that we become important. One way is when others tell us we are. I remember as a young college student, because at one time I was young, I remember being told that when you go into your church and you're the pastor there and you shake hands with people and people tell you that they really loved your sermon and they really think you're a great pastor and blah, 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 blah. Don't believe everything they tell you. Because if you do, you're going to get a big head. And then, of course, the other side of that coin is when you hear people criticizing and they say negative things about you and don't really care for you all that much. Don't believe all that either. Because that'll deflate your balloon and you're going to want to quit and give up. So try to find a middle ground in there somewhere and just remember that you're doing all the things you do not for people as much as you're doing it for the Lord. And if you're doing what he wants you to do, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, no matter what happens people-wise. That was good advice. After being in the ministry all these years, I can honestly say that was good advice. But there's basically two ways you become important. One is when others tell you you are. Okay. By the way, if you're not careful with them, pride will get the best of you. But there's another time when you can become important, and that's when you think you are. You know, I mean, this church couldn't get along without me. This family couldn't get along without me. This job couldn't get along without me. And you could put whatever filler in the blank there that you want to, but this blank wouldn't get along, couldn't get along without me. And we've all met people like that, haven't we? Think they're God's gift to whatever. There's basically two times when you become important. And one is when others tell you you are, and the other one is when you think you are. In both of those cases, we need to remember the end of verse 5. For without me, ye can do nothing. Do you ever think about how literal that really is? How is it that you were able to get up this morning? Some of us stayed up late last night and watched the basketball game. I was one of them. It was harder to get up this morning than it should have been. But I'm here, and I haven't fallen asleep. Hopefully you've noticed that. I'm tired, but I got to watch the ball game. We go through times in our life when we think we're important and we think maybe others think we're important, but we need to remember that without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. You can't even get out of bed in the morning. You can't get yourself dressed. You can't feed yourself. You can't. I think about this often. You can't keep your heart beating. You can't keep your lungs working. There's so many things that this verse can apply to, but especially when it comes to our accomplishments and what we are able to achieve. And, you know, like in me, the occupation I have, pastoring a church and preaching a sermon and going to visit someone and counseling different ones and you can do nothing without me, Jesus said. Nothing. So, this is one of those times when you become important. This is one of those times when you need a little honey or the knowledge of wisdom that God has given us in his word to remember that without God, don't take offense when I tell you this, but without God, you're worthless. You can't accomplish anything. You can't do anything. The book of Proverbs tells us that pride comes before destruction. And James tells us that God resists the proud. So for you and I to think that we're important, that really goes against what God says, right? We would all do well to get some honey or the knowledge of wisdom within us and remember that we are nothing without the Lord. And we can accomplish nothing without the Lord. So these are things that came to mind for me that I share with you this morning. Times when we need a little honey or this knowledge of wisdom that our text talks about. Let's go back there, in fact. I wanted to close with this. Proverbs chapter 24, and say a few things, and then I'll wrap this all up. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 13 and 14 says, "My son," please notice how God speaks to us as a father would speak with his son or daughter. "My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste." No period here. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom." I believe God is comparing the honey and the honeycomb to the knowledge of wisdom that comes from him. "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." God is encouraging us here to eat that honey, to consume that knowledge of wisdom. Why? Because, number one, it is good. Number two, because it will add sweetness to your life. And number three, because you're going to reap a great reward. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. Four different times when we really need this honey or knowledge of wisdom, when tensions run high, when responsibilities are heavy, when people misunderstand us, and when you become important. Father, please speak to hearts today. Thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us your Word and reminds us of your Word. We would all do well to, when we face these situations, to just take a step back and consider the honey, or consider the knowledge of wisdom you've given us, to eat it, to consume it, to digest it. Why? Because it is good. Secondly, because it'll add sweetness to our life. And thirdly, because there's a great reward that comes with it. Bless these thoughts to our lives tonight, today. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.